everybody. Thank you for tuning in and welcome to our Pride Month podcast. Today in the podcast room, we've got myself, Miss Wild. I'm the head of Pride SOC, and I work in the EDI department. I go by she, her pronouns, and I'm going to pass off to head ally and my friend on the left.
Hello, I'm Mr. O'Neill. I'm a maths teacher and deputy housemaster in the Picton, and I go by he, him pronouns.
Hi, my name is Will, and my pronouns are he, him.
I'm Alida, and I use she, her pronouns.
Hey, I'm Tessa, and I use she, her pronouns.
I'm Lamont. I'm the leader of Pride SOC. He, him.
Great. So thank you, everybody in the room, for joining me today. I'm very excited because it's Pride Month, so my energy is just excited all month long. Just to say a bit about Pride Month and why we celebrate, it began in... There was a Stonewall uprising in 1969 in New York City in America when people stood up against injustice that they'd been facing and demanded equal rights. Since that year, Pride as a movement has been growing and started to involve marches through cities, celebrations, and a coming together of community during the month of June. So now here we are in 2025. We've got a wonderful Pride Society here at Wellington College, and we've got teachers and staff who support as well and celebrate as well, and we thought we'd come together to do a little podcast today. So you might have seen my emails that have been going around during Pride Month, as I've been calling them Q and Gay. We thought we'd just come together today to recap some of those. So everybody in the room has picked out a question that they think has been particularly relevant or helpful. And the way we'll run it is you guys will take turns asking questions. I'll give a brief response and then we'll open it up for a bit of discussion. And before we start, I just want to say to those in the room and those listening that this is a safe space to listen, learn and speak with respect. Whether you're part of the LGBTQ plus community or an ally, we're very glad you're here. And just a quick reminder that we're going to be kind, listen openly, and not make assumptions. And that goes for people in the room and people listening as well. You just might never know who might relate to what's being said today, so we'll keep things supportive and avoid using names and things like that. So let's begin. I'm going to hand over to Alida for the first question.
How can we support friends who are gay or are part of the LGBTQ plus community?
Yeah, what a great question, Alida. How can we support friends who are gay? There are certainly plenty of people who are part of the LGBTQ plus community here at Wellington, and we'll certainly come across lots more of them in our wider lives as we go on through life. How can we support them? I suppose first and foremost by being a good person, by being open, and I'll open it up to other people and how we think we can support our friends and our community. And what makes you guys feel supported? What things do people do that help you feel supported in school and out of school?
I mean, it's a simple question, and there's a very simple answer to it to me. I think just treat them the same as you'll treat everyone else. I personally don't expect anyone to treat me, you know, dramatically differently just because my sexuality or my identity. It's just, I think that would resolve it perfectly for most of the situation. And, well, obviously, if you know someone, even if you don't know in a conversation, if you realize that when things get a bit homophobic or being a bit rude, just tell people to stop and be supportive. Acknowledge, put yourself in the position, think how you will feel if you're that person being discussed. And I suppose that would be it.
Yeah. I agree. I think the most like proactive things to do are, one, I find it really supportive if someone sort of knows what my sexuality means without me having to explain it to them. Mm-hmm. Because like most people understand like gay, straight, but like when it gets a little more like quote unquote niche. So for example, like if someone says they're like pansexual or asexual, I think it's incredibly supportive when you don't have to spell that out to somebody. And then also calling out homophobic language or just any uninclusive atmospheres, because I think that's the most important part of doing the work. And I also think, for obviously wrong reasons, but often it's straight people who can make the most difference in those spaces, because people tend to be more unreceptive if it's a queer person calling out uninclusive language.
Yeah, that's a really good point. What you were saying about not always having to explain your own sexuality, sometimes it just, you might get a bit tired of doing that time after time. If somebody tells you something and you don't quite understand it, it's a good idea as an ally to go ahead and research that yourself and find out what you can find out. And then you can have fun, exciting conversations with them. And I read this, I heard this, is this true for you? And things like that. So those were great points, Tessa. I'm just going to get some input from Mr. O'Neill, who is a great friend to myself and my girlfriend, and a wonderful ally also to his partner. And just wanted to find out what it feels like to have so many queer friends in your life, particularly during Pride Month when it's all about them.
Yeah, exactly. No, it's amazing to have such incredible friends and really enjoy learning about their experiences and trying to support that as best I can. I think This question, I think, about supporting friends does come from students who are maybe worried about things changing. If a friend comes out to them, how that might impact their relationship. And I think the first thing I'd say is, like, it won't change anything to an extent. Like, it will still be the same friendship, the same person that you know. Mm-hmm. And you probably do already know people who have a difference in their identity or their sexuality, and they haven't told you yet, or they don't know themselves, or still thinking about it. And you still love and trust and respect that friend. So if they tell you some news, you can just continue on in exactly the same way.
Yeah.
So you'll still be that close friend and still do all those things you want for them. So on one hand, nothing will change. On the other hand, it will change, because you've had this person who's shared some really important news with you, and you can feel close to them, feel connected to them, and you can, as Kitty said, start to explore how that feels for them and relate to their experiences as much as you can, and just be a part of this amazing community and see those wonderful things that we're doing in Pride Month. It's super exciting, super fun. So yeah, it doesn't have to change if you don't want it to. It can be what it wants, and you can feel lucky that someone feels that close to you, that they want to share some stuff about themselves.
So we'll sort of segue into, this has been really great discussion about if you know people in your life who are part of the LGBTQ plus community, but what if you don't know, maybe you suspect? I'll pass over to Will for the next question.
My question is, how are you meant to support someone who is hiding their sexuality and hasn't told anyone?
Which I think is a really great question. I think I answered it in the first Q&A email I sent around this month. I think I'll read my answer I gave for that question, because I was quite proud of it. And then we'll have a bit of a discussion. So I think if you don't know someone's sexuality, maybe you suspect, but they haven't told anyone yet. They certainly haven't told you. It's because they're either still figuring it out, they're not ready to tell anyone, or you might just have suspected wrong. A lot of our suspicions are based on stereotypes, which can be funny and true, but also can be harmful. So the best way you can support everyone around you, that's those who might be questioning their sexuality or not, is to be a good person, to be open, friendly, kind, and inquisitive. And those are some of our key values here at Wellington as well. It is good to try and stand up for equality, and like, don't make or join in with homophobic jokes or comments, particularly around house. And if you feel up to it, call them out. As Tessa was saying, sometimes our straight allies are the most important people for creating a safe and inclusive culture. So small actions like that really won't go unnoticed by those around you, and might just create a safe and supportive environment where a friend or someone else feels like they can come out to you, or they can approach you with things. So that's what I would say on that. Does anybody have anything else to add?
I also think you shouldn't just be supportive and like work for equality only because you think someone around you might be queer. You should be doing it all the time, no matter what.
Yeah.
And a joke isn't only offensive when someone around you is offended by it. If it's an offensive joke, it's always going to be an offensive joke in any situation. So I think even it shouldn't impact anything if you're suspecting someone might be part of the LGBTQ plus community, because you should be the same kind, supportive person either way.
Yeah, brilliant. Yes. Need
a
really good point.
I also want to add on to that, because sometimes I do hear conversations such as, just because someone suspect one person is hiding something about their sexuality, or they inferred something, I don't think it's a good idea. I don't think you should pass that on to other people. I think it's very, for example, someone might go around and like, oh, I think he feels gay or he feels, and I think it's just not helpful for anyone, whatever their situation is, and it's not, it doesn't sound good on your side as well.
Yeah, it's never helpful to spread rumours or gossip, isn't it, for anyone of any subject.
I think Alida's point was really good about how you can develop that trust with somebody so they'll feel safe enough to share something like that with you. I think if you are your true self and being kind and respectful and understanding, they will feel they're able to speak to you about it. So if you are somebody who's willing to make a homophobic joke, then you're showing that it's not very accepting space for that person to come out to you. Whereas if you're someone who's standing up for the right thing and being kind and empathetic and showing respect, then you can cultivate an environment where they feel safe to do so. You know, you might have had the classic line that parents might use to be something like, I will love you no matter what. And I think for a parent, they are allowed to explicitly ask and explicitly, you know, start probing and trying to support you. But with friends, we can just be understanding and create that space for somebody to share what they want to, if they want to, and when they want to. Mm. If they don't want to, that's also fine. And if they do come out to you and tell you some information about themselves, that's not then now your information to share as well. So as Laurent was saying, it's up to them how they control that information. And if they ask for your help in that, then you can do that for them. If not, then they can do it in their own way. So you can just be there, being a good person. We'll start to cultivate an environment that's supportive for everyone.
You have a great phrase, Mr. O'Neill, about shining your light. Do you know what I mean? Do you want to share that?
Yeah, I think that's I suppose from the other side, the more that you shine who you are and shine what's important to you, people will see that and they will be drawn to that. So like little beacons of light that you shine around. So whether you are somebody who is queer and wants to shine that spotlight of your queerness, you can do that to find friends and find your community. Or if you're somebody who is supportive and wants to show that you're supportive, then show that publicly, show that, be proud in your openness and your supportiveness. That doesn't have to be something that somebody has to discover about you. Like be open about your feelings and be open about your openness. That's not too meta, but you will find that, you know, as you are shining your light and being the brightest version of yourself, you will see other people who are like you, and you can share and build relationships based on that. So do just be proud and put your best foot forward.
Yeah, and you create a space for everyone around you to feel like they can do that as well, which is great. So we'll pass over to Lamont for our next question.
My question is, are people born LGBTQ+? It's like this classic question of nature and nurture.
I think the question comes up a lot. I haven't answered it in my Q&A yet because I think it is quite complex, and maybe it's the kind of question that doesn't have a set answer. Lots of people will have lots of different things to say and lots of different opinions. So I'll open it up to the group. Why do you think this question comes up so often, and do you think it's really helpful in the discussion? If you come out to someone and someone says back to you, well, were you born like that? Would you enjoy being asked that and enjoy talking about all your life experiences up to that point? Or do you think it's not really a helpful question?
I think the answer is incredibly nuanced, but I think the question is fundamentally irrelevant. Because like, if you ask that, I think there's a subliminal message of, if we know what causes it, we will then want to change it.
Mm.
And then like, obviously we shouldn't want to change being born LGBTQ. So I think though, like, scientists and philosophers and like psychologists and neurologists will probably all have a different opinion, all based on their different sciencey thing. I think in general it's not a helpful question.
Mm.
Sorry, go ahead.
I also think the question often stems from a place of wanting to like know if it's real, or if you're just like, if it's just a feeling, if you're actually gay, when I don't think it really matters. Like, if someone tells you they feel a certain way, it shouldn't matter whether there's a scientific reason for it or not. Mm. It should just be who they are.
Also, I think it's quite weird, kind of, I don't really see this question being posed to straight people as well. It's sort of like, being gay is sort of also, it makes it kind of like an environment, like cultivates an environment where being gay is different.
Mm.
So thus we must kind of find like a way that to kind of prove that it's different in a way.
Mm.
So I think if we just kind of, I don't know, almost, yeah, I think that question is completely irrelevant, to be honest.
Yeah, I think it's a good point about the irrelevance of the question. If no matter what answer you get, you're not going to change your behaviour, then the question itself is moot.
Mm.
So if somebody says yes, are you going to treat them differently? As if they say no, if they say, actually, no, I just decided this, or I changed recently, or it came about because of this moment in my life. But no matter what, hopefully you're still going to treat that person with respect, kindness and love. So in that case, what is the question serving, apart from maybe your own curiosity or your own awkwardness about the situation? And as Tessa said, there probably is no clear-cut answer that we all want to pin our flags to that mast, as it were. And to Alida's point as well, I think if you try and put it back to a nature versus nurture question, you sort of then try and remove the scope for people to change their minds or change their opinions or adapt and grow. So you might feel a certain way in your 20s that you might not feel in your 40s, and that's completely okay and should be celebrated. And if we sort of try and say that, oh no, I was born a particular way, it gives no scope for personal growth and development.
Yeah, definitely. Well, I'm really glad, Lamont, you brought that question to this podcast and the table, because I had no idea how to answer it in my emails. And turns out all of you are fantastically intelligent and thoughtful, and really, I really enjoyed that discussion about the question there. So we've got time for one more question, so we'll pass over to Tessa.
Yeah. What does it feel like to come out, and what can you do if people react negatively or your parents are homophobic?
So quite a big question there with a lot of different things to look
subdivisions.
Subdivisions. I will just say we won't touch on personal coming out stories today, but in October there's an International Coming Out Day, which I think is a fantastic day to celebrate, and I'm hoping to do another podcast in October where I will gather people who would like to share their coming out stories. It's one of my favourite things to talk about. So if any of you here or anybody listening, students or staff, would like to share a coming out story, then do let me know and we'll come back here in October and have a great time digesting all of that. But so in summary, sort of coming out looks different for everyone. That's why coming out stories are so great to talk about, because everybody has a different story. Some people's stories are very positive and some people's stories are very negative. Like you asked about the what to do if it is a negative experience or you do come across homophobia. I did send an email this morning that just talked a bit more in depth about what to do if you think your parents might have homophobic views or might react negatively if you come out to them. So there's a lot of detail in there and some really helpful links to some fantastic resources on coming out. But does anybody here want to share what they think makes it easier or harder, or how we can support friends who are going through considering coming out?
I think it's particularly important just to touch on the fact that, yes, this is a very nuanced question and everyone has a completely different experience with this sort of thing. But I think sort of going back to the previous questions, it's sort of thinking about creating or cultivating like a really positive environment, inclusive environment for those who are part of the LGBT community. And I think people who are willing or comfortable with sharing something so important, like their coming out story, I think just making people feel supported, whether that be a negative or positive reaction from their family or their peers, I think it's really important just to make sure that they feel that their sexuality is who they are, and I think they need to feel included.
Lovely.
I also think that coming out isn't necessarily always one big moment. It can kind of be a lot of little moments of like testing the water and seeing how responsive people will be. And then also, you don't come out once, you come out dozens and dozens of times throughout your life. So I think once you get the first time over with, all the others become a lot less scary.
Yeah.
I think it's back with to Will's point earlier about, you know, straight people don't have to come out and this is an experience they've got to go through. So it's, you know, people don't need to come out if they don't want to or don't have to at any time frame, you know, so it's just it's certainly a queer experience that needs to be respected and dealt with in everyone's own way. And straight people thinking that they can mandate how that might look is not going to help. So as Will was saying, it's cultivating that space that it's safe to do so and that they can trust that they're with the right people to talk about the right thing at the right time.
And obviously in the future, I think it would be great if that wouldn't actually have to happen, having to come out. I think it would just be supported everywhere.
Definitely would be great. I will just say to round it up that if you are struggling with the idea of coming out, or you think you want to but you're not sure how to go about it, we do have a fantastic team of counsellors here who can help you work through that in a safe space. Or if you have come out to friends or family and perhaps you have had a negative experience with that, then the pastoral and safeguarding team behind the Rainbow Door are here to support you. Myself, I'm here to support you. I've come out many times, so very happy to lend a supportive ear for that. And also Pride Sock is such a wonderful safe space with, you know, some of these people that are in the room now. And it's just a great place to come and be, and you don't even have to come out there. You know, we've got people of all different sexualities, gender identities, allies, straight people. And it's a great place to be without having to, what's the word where you like put yourself in a box, you know, without having to sort of label who you are. So that you don't have to sort of constantly be thinking about coming out or not coming out. So with that, I will wrap up just to touch a little bit more on support. If you do need it for any reason, anything to do with being part of the LGBTQ plus community, or your friends are, or your family are, or you want help or advice, as I said, we've got the team behind the Rainbow Door, so Mrs. Lynch, Mrs. Ayres, Mrs. Griggs, Mr. Wayman. You can also speak with Mrs. Charlier, who is the director of EDI here at Wellington. Also, if you have things that you feel would be good to change around the school or initiatives, then Mrs. Charlier is always looking to make the school a more inclusive space. So she's always looking for people who want to help with that or who have ideas for that. Obviously there's Lamont, who is the student lead of Pride Sock, so you can reach out to him with an email. There's the Pride Sock email as well. And then myself, Miss Wild. We've got other nominated safe and friendly people around college, such as Mr. O'Neill and Miss Waters, who is a biology teacher. They both helped me with the podcast, and they help a lot with Pride Sock. And then we have Mrs. Moore Bridger in sixth form, Miss Anderson from dance, and Mrs. Birch in the health centre, all of whom are also happy to be a safe and friendly face around school or be contacted if you need help or anyone to talk to. So in terms of support, we've got a wonderful community here at Wellington. So thank you everybody for listening. We hope you are enjoying Pride Month, enjoying seeing the flag flying up at Welly. And thank you so much to everybody in the room for coming and discussing and sharing and listening. I think it's been really, really valuable, and I'm so grateful for you all. So thank you.
Thank you so much.
Thank you
for hosting this as well.
Yes, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Everybody have a good day.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye.